T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Mully and Hall, up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
Bears, 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 football, football, football.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
What are the odds the Bears' Friday night news dump release of Prince Amukamara and Taylor Gabriel was a precursor to signing a potential replacement for Mitch Trubisky?
That's more the dream, I think, than the odds. I think the odds could be fairly stacked against you on that one. If you're going to get rid of Prince and Taylor Gabriel, you're doing it because you need more cap space. So now you got like $26 million or something, and you could turn that into a potential starting quarterback. The only problem with that strategy is you got to get a cornerback and you got to get a speed receiver. You can't get everything out of the draft. You don't have a first-round pick. If this is just a move to get more quarterback help, the problem is you're creating other issues.
Mully and Hall.
I get a kick out of you guys.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
What is your number one takeaway from the debut of the new Marquee Sports Network? Where does it go from here?
Well, the number one takeaway for everyone is going to be personal. I can't watch it, so I don't know what I missed. I don't have Marquee Sports Network.
What do you have against the Marquee Network?
It's not because I don't want to get the Marquee Sports Network. It's because the Cubs have not yet struck a deal with Comcast, which is my provider, so I cannot watch the Cubs. I've been assured by people within the Cubs organization that that's not going to be a problem before opening day. My own little petty problems aside, what I saw on the Twitter machine about it looked like they're going to have growing pains. This is spring training. They're going to have the equivalent of a top of the rotation starter's 10.75 ERA in March. So they're going to struggle out of the gate, and I think there's going to be some clumsiness. There's still some people who will be complaining today, and if you got a complaint, feel free to let us know about it.
Mully and Hall.
It's a hell of a team.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Yes, indeed. It is a brand new world, and it is a marquee world,
and
we are in it. So.
Yeah, and just before we get some back to the Bears stuff, which is interesting, our guy, our friend Robert Feeder checks in this morning about Marquee Sports Network, and he says that the long-awaited debut turned out to be the worst new product launch in memory.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I get it.
What do you have against the Marquee Network?
Well, I have nothing against it, Tom. I thought that there were some issues there with the syncing up of the, you know, they just, it started rough. But once they got to the game broadcast, that's when they were in their wheelhouse, and that's what really shone through for me. And once I watched it the second day, the synced up problem seemed to be gone. I was surprised how long it lasted because I was kind of watching sports. I had a bunch of stuff I was trying to get done.
Sure.
And I was going back and forth, and I had been up very early in the morning to make sure that I watched the fight, to make sure I watched all the prep for that. I had United playing, so I had to watch that. Glorious victory for United, thank God. 3-0. And then I was watching the start of the Marquee Network, and I had some college basketball responsibilities. So there was a lot going on. But I got to tell you, David, my initial feeling was not one of, oh, this sucks. Oh, this is terrible. I figured, you know, they got technical problems. They can
figure
that
out.
They'll work all that out.
The product will be fine.
What I came away from it with, and again, there were, we can get through the technical issues. It was more than just a syncing up. It was some of the old video that they were using that didn't look right on my TV. Whatever. It gave me motion sickness. I had to pull over the car and stop reading in the back of the bus. But I felt jealous. I thought to myself, like, my God, this is, and I looked it up. I started looking, when are the Sox on? When am I going to be able to see a Sox game?
Today.
Turns out today.
Today.
But they're only playing six spring training games on NBC Sports Chicago, which I think is probably a third of the amount I'd like to see, whatever. But I get it. But to have a sports network dedicated solely to the team that you like and that you follow, I do get MUTV on my cell phone, and I watch a lot of United, you know, information and interviews and stuff like that, and old games, and really brings me back. I love that kind of stuff. But that treatment is well overdue for all of our local teams. Everybody needs a station like that.
Well, I think there's two things to look at here. There's two aspects of this. Number one, what you just described, the joy from a Cubs fan's perspective that it's going to be all access all the time. If you want to see where Anthony Rizzo and Mark Grace talk, or how they break down playing first base, it's there for you. John Lester playing long toss with Ryan Dempster, right? Was that the case?
It's great.
It's there for you. All these things about the World Series Game 7 to Ernie Banks retrospective, it's there for you. That's the product. Access to the product is the other thing. That's the problem. And I think that's what leads people, justifiably so, like Feeder, to point out that this was a terrible launch. This was a really one fraught with mistakes and clumsiness. And when you can't get customers who have paid for the product to get the product, to be able to access the product, that's a fail. And I think there were enough examples of those, whether it's anecdotal or otherwise, to say that this came away with there's some ground to be covered and some fences to be mended if you're the Cubs and the Cubs front office.
I'm not arguing with what you're saying, but I don't think there's fences to be mended. I think once they get the product out to everyone, I understand the idea that it's a bad product launch because you can't get to everyone. But once they get that product to everyone, people are going to be satisfied with it.
That's a week ago this time, okay, I fair enough. But a week ago at this time, what I'm talking about is you told your fan base, a section of your fan base, Hulu Live was going to be available. And you didn't really say that it wasn't going to be available until opening day.
No.
You got those people sucked in to buy the product.
Yep.
And then they tell them, well, you're going to have to wait another until March 26th.
That's right.
To me, that's a fence you have to mend. That's something you have to address. I think you have to be proactive to kind of solve some of these bureaucratic hassles, some of these technical glitches, some of the things that went wrong with people accessing a product they had already paid for. That's number one. That's got to be at the top of the priority list if you're Crane Kenny, Julian Green, or whoever it is in the organization. What we're talking about, what you were able to process, the people who did have access to it, is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yep.
I heard from half dozen Cubs fans within the first hour of Marquee, I can't believe I died and went to baseball heaven.
Yep.
And that's the thing that they're probably proud of and they're trying to balance is that, boy, we feel great about this. The other thing is, boy, we let a lot of people down.
They did let a lot of people down. I don't think you let them off the hook for that either. I mean, it's a letdown that they're not on Comcast. It's a real letdown that some of the cable networks they're on don't have it. The idea that Hulu doesn't have it when some people went out and spent $55 for it, that's wrong, okay? And I'm not forgiving that because that's wrong. What I'm saying is, you know, I do have it. And the product itself is a fan's dream come true. If you like the Cubs, you're going to love the Marquee Sports Network. Now, that is purely from a fan standpoint, and I envy that they have something like that. I do feel Marquee envy. But I do think, David, that I'm very interested to see how they cover different things, to see if this inside information, if this access continues for the entirety of the year, if things get closed down a little bit as you get further into stuff. I just think there's a lot of little issues I'm going to be very interested in, but I know I'm going to watch
from it. From a content standpoint, you're talking about.
From a
editorial
That's what I'm interested
decision
in. No
standpoint.
Question.
It's like what happens the first time that there's maybe a little bit of a controversy in the clubhouse. Maybe somebody's not playing and they think they should be playing, or Chris Bryant is tired of batting leadoff. I can't imagine that, but you know, some of these things, that'll be interesting to follow. The other thing I drove home one day last week from work thinking to myself, boy, I'm going to go home and I know I'm not going to get Comcast deal done in time for spring training, but Hulu, okay, I'll bite the bullet.
Yeah.
I'll get that because I wanted to watch this weekend's launch.
Sure.
I wanted to watch today and tomorrow and the next day. The thing is that if I had done that and I didn't do that,
you'd be very upset.
I would be very ticked off about paying $55 for nothing.
And again, I think conceptually, and I've always felt that way. Great idea. This is high concept. This is a wonderful thing. What we're seeing is that there are all sorts of complex issues getting it off the ground. There are all sorts of technical resources that you have to have down. Hopefully that'll all be ironed out by the start of the season. And I mean, there's a lot. I mean, there are a lot of things. Again, when you're watching some of these old games, they did this thing about they did this countdown of the 10 best games in Cubs history, which I'd like to know who put that together because I didn't agree with it. But that's neither here nor there. But when you actually sit there and you watch some of this stuff, you're thinking, wow, this is great. Wait a minute. Why are they choosing to blow that up onto a screen that isn't equipped to show it without problems on the outside of it or different graininess? And it did give me kind of motion sickness. I didn't like that element of it, but it was great to see some of that stuff.
I also said
they got to do better with
earlier
it.
In the show. I wondered
it's
if anybody else,
Carey.
Yeah, if anybody else wondered about it's very red. You know,
yes.
It's cubby blue and it's all red. The sign is red. Then you see the C, and I was thinking for a minute, it's very Cincinnati red like. But those are little things that they can work out. The one thing that you mentioned that I found myself wondering too, the countdown to the top 10 games. That's just the first example. I wonder about with WGN, you never worried about this. With even NBC Sports Chicago, because a lot of the same people, I didn't worry about this as much. I do wonder about the institutional knowledge of people coming in.
Yes.
To put together this network with the Cubs tradition
who's fan base. Bob Vorwalt? Who is the guy through?
He's going to help them, but I wonder.
Well, he's helping them, but he's not doing it.
He's only one man. And plus, you know, the institutional knowledge of just having a checks and balance in place so somebody can say, you know what, that wasn't a no hit. You know, that wasn't that best game after all because there was an error there. You know, there's the thing about baseball is that it's such a slave to tradition. That you wonder do they have enough experience?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that'll play itself out.
Yeah, I think all that will come. I mean, I think the main concerns of what went wrong are all things that can be fixed. The concept of this is wonderful. And it's just going to get better and better and better. They had a rough opening. Fair enough. You know, that's why, you know, on Broadway, you don't just have opening night. You do a bunch of different theatrical run-throughs. And that's effectively what they're doing with spring training. So there are innate problems, but they can all be figured out. They can all be solved. The idea that you have this entity is fantastic for fans.
It's a great resource for fans.
But get it to everyone. I mean, get that deal done with Comcast. For God's sake, if you cut a deal with Hulu, have them broadcast it. You know, you're broadcasting it because I saw it. So you got to be able to filter it to any place you have to. And I don't understand what the holdup is there. But I just think people are going to eventually really fall in love with it. And I think it's the kind of thing that everybody's going to want with every team they love.
And Bob Vorwald was hired as a special advisor in the fall.
It's my understanding, and again, I'd like to know more about this, but GN has all of the old games and everything, right? They've got all the volume of games.
The archives.
Mm-hmm. So how are you going to be able to watch archival footage if they don't figure out how to translate that into an HD world? And it's okay to do it with like with blacked out, letterbox, whatever way you want to describe it. I don't have any problem with that, but I just need to see it clearer than I'm seeing it on my TV.
Good question.
And I don't know who's responsible for that or if that's an easy transition or if there are tons of technical problems. I'd love to talk to Bob. Let's try to get a hold of Bob and talk to him.
I'm emailing him as we're talking
good,
about
cause,
it.
Because I would be very curious. Because the Cubs own all that or does GN own it? How does that work? Because the announcers always were paid by the team, right?
Well, they did a really nice job really early on within the first, and I was surprised by this, within the first 12 minutes, they were thanking and crediting WGN.
Yeah.
And what a great organ and how unreal it had been that it was the exclusive home for all that time, something that never happened. It's very interesting.
That's great.
Why is Kevin laughing in the background?
Ray showed me something funny. I was reading what Robert Feeder wrote, and I scrolled down a little bit on the article, David, and I thought of you. Friends in Low Places by Garth Brooks named the number one country song
of all
time.
Happy about that, Kevin.
I was wondering.
I was not happy about that.
And
no.
Kevin never heard the song.
Never heard it.
Oh, you're kidding. I'm a huge fan of Chris Gaines.
Live Like You Were Dying is the number one country song of all time.
Chris Gaines is a great country artist.
Stop it. What? Stop mocking the country music
I'm not
experience.
Mocking it. Chris Gaines,
Live Like You Were Dying,
that
Tim
album.
McGraw. Yeah. If not that, Boys of Fall. That'd be my number one and two in my wheelhouse. Kenny Chesney, Boys of Fall.
Friends in Low Places is by Chris Gaines, right?
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Garth Brooks.
Well, Chris Gaines wrote it, but Garth Brooks sang it.
Okay. So no, Chris Gaines is Garth Brooks.
Mockery's all over your voice. I can hear it.
There's no mockery.
Stop it.
He put out an album as Chris Gaines. Where you been? It was the Chris Gaines Experience.
He had a soul patch and everything.
Was it Lost in Love? What was that song? It was a beautiful song.
Call US 99. Share it with them.
Oh my God, you are denying? You are a Gaines denier.
I'm a denier.
My God, do you not know anything about Garth Brooks? How dare you, sir? 312-644-6767. It's Pulley and Hall on the Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Empty spread, right to left, snap back. Here's the throw, and it's sitting out and they're picking off. Amokamara 40, Amokamara 30, to the 20, inside cut on Russell Wilson, 5 end zone, pick 6, goodbye Prince Amokamara. It's been 40 games since he's had an interception, and Prince Amokamara picks Russell Wilson with 6:37 to go in the game, 23-10.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. Goodbye, Prince Amukamara.
Indeed.
And I think that's probably one of the big reasons, you know, the $9 million salary doesn't correspond to the lack of takeaways, and that's probably the biggest reason that he's gone. It's a question of age and salary,
I guess,
whenever you're talking about this stuff. And
I want to know what the plan is to replace him, because you're not talking about a position like quarterback, where you have an unproven player coming back and you're open for possibility because you haven't had production at that spot. Well, you're talking about a position, frankly, you didn't worry about the last couple of years. And to some degree, it was because you had veterans in those positions that you trusted that performed. Now, did Prince Amukamara produce a number of takeaways that you wanted? Ideally, no. But he was a veteran that you didn't have to worry about on most Sundays, Mully. And I think now you've created a need on a defense that didn't have a lot of weakness, and you created one. And I understand why. We all get why. But what are you going to do to fill it?
Yeah, I mean, the reality of life is that you can only pay so many people. I mean, there's only so many chunks of change you have to distribute. So I would be very surprised if HaHa Clinton Dix was back, because he played for like $3 million, so I don't think he's playing for that again. But you did have to pay Eddie, so Eddie's got some money. You have already paid the other corner, Fuller, so he's making some money. So you gotta pick and choose with a lot of different guys,
that's true.
What they did.
Do you think, though, in your heart of hearts, we ask the question 5 of 5, and because you have to ask it, it's all about the quarterback. We asked the question, do you think the Bears in part created this salary cap space? Now they have $27 million under the cap because of their concerns at quarterback. Does it give them more flexibility, or will they take advantage of the flexibility they created for themselves to go out and pursue a veteran quarterback?
Well, they only had, what, $13 million available? So now you add another $13.5 million to that. They got about $27 million now available to them, which sounds like a lot of money,
yep.
But I believe the league average is $45 million. So now you can go to the combine, you can meet with agents, and you can say, you can talk about every quarterback, because you can say, well, look at how much money we have here. What would it take to get a deal done? Now, that includes the money you were going to give to Chase Daniel, right? Well, he made, what, $6 million last year. So there's a certain amount of money that you kind of have in your head that you had to pay anyway. Can they get a quarterback for $12 million, $13 million? Can half that money go for just that position? Do they need to get themselves they are probably not shopping for the best of the best.
Well,
they might be more in the bargain bin.
Let's stop there for a
second.
Tight
end. I mean, just think about all the different positions.
Tight ends are going to be expensive. The
yep.
ones at the top of the market. Offensive linemen are going to be expensive.
That's
the
right.
ones at the top of the market.
And you got to get one.
I want to know from Ryan Pace, as they sit down tomorrow to talk to Ryan Pace when he meets the media for the first time since his season-ending press conference, when he said Mitch is our starter for 2020. Given the unusual amount and number of veteran quarterbacks who are proven commodities,
yeah.
why are you so committed to a quarterback who through 41 games has been so inconsistent when you have a roster that you could convince yourselves is ready to win now?
Because he drafted the guy number 2 overall.
That's not a good enough answer.
Well, that's the answer. He's going to tell you that they're playing a slow hand, that Mitch didn't start a lot in college, which means that he drafted the wrong guy. But he's going to tell you that Mitch didn't get a lot of starts in college, and we see that he's about to break through the glass ceiling and he's ready to go. That's the kind of thing.
Then I'm walking out of his Indianapolis hotel suite unsatisfied.
Well, didn't you walk out of the season unsatisfied?
Definitely. Even worse after hearing the season-ending press conference. I wonder, I keep waiting for this. You know, actions do to kind of drown out the words, and it hasn't happened yet because it hasn't been able to happen yet. The NFL calendar, you know, we're not to that point where you can really evaluate the Bears offseason or even start to. But
yeah.
I'd like to hear something that gives me an indication that they're open to that idea, because, Molly, you know, we've covered
yes.
the NFL a long time.
Yep.
The number of veteran quarterbacks available this offseason is unusual. It's unusually high.
Let me ask you something. Do you believe in your heart of hearts, not something they would say publicly, that the offensive coordinator and the general manager, and by offensive coordinator, I mean head coach, have different views of the quarterback?
Yes.
I do. If you put a lie detector test on the two of them,
yes, I do.
Ryan Pace might pass because he's convinced himself that he's right.
There's no way
Matt Nagy would pass it.
I think that they will not agree with that kind of assessment. They would never acknowledge that reality. But I think that if you had both men separately and they had to, you know, tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help them God, the football gods,
yeah,
then they would say, Ryan Pace believes in Mitch Trubisky and everything about him. For whatever,
right?
He's in for he's in
for a penny and for a pound.
Exactly.
Yep.
Matt Nagy, not so much. Not Matt Nagy inherited Mitch Trubisky.
That's right.
And I don't know that there's ever been that feeling where, and I don't think that he has to say that because he has shown that. And I think the way that he's called game plans, I think that the way that he's devised his offense and schemed it, he has told you time and again he doesn't trust the guy. And so a quarterback who isn't trusted by his play caller isn't a quarterback that I think you feel like you can win with.
Okay, here's one of the problems I have with the Bears. Matt Nagy is the offense coordinator and the head coach, right? He starts the offense, his philosophy is the offense, and he calls the plays. They don't run the ball. They never run the ball. They don't care for running the ball. They'll occasionally do it as a distraction, but they really want to throw the ball. All he wants to do is throw the ball. All he wants to do is come up with plays. They don't they don't really try to pound down the field. They want to score a touchdown on every offensive play. So how do you go about firing the people in charge of the running game if your philosophy is that you don't run the football? And how has the changes made to the staff, how has that made them closer to a better team than they were before those changes?
It's a fair question.
I want him to answer that, and I suspect he won't even be asked it.
Well, he should be asked it immediately, because I think that's the core question about your offense, because I think the answer comes in this. They want to have a running game that they can trust well enough to complement their passing game or to set up their passing game. And they didn't have that last year. And they didn't have that because of a lot of reasons.
But they never ran it.
They didn't commit to it. And so that's the follow-up question, is if they say they want a running game that is strong enough to complement their passing game or to set up the play-action pass for a quarterback that thrives under those conditions with a moving pocket, then the follow-up question is, well, why didn't you do that more last year? And I guess they would say, well, we weren't able to block it up.
That's a good question.
You know, it's very difficult to answer which comes first.
And when you watch the Chiefs win a Super Bowl, does that make Matt Nagy think, I'm onto it, I've got it, this is the offense that works? Or does anybody stop and say, boy, that quarterback's awful good, I wish we had him, but we don't. So how do we complement a great defense without that guy?
My hope is, if you're a Bears fan, you're hoping that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy watched the Super Bowl and were focused on the other team, the one that didn't win, the one that got there, much the same way that you can get there with a strong defense, a solid running game, and a quarterback that didn't get you beat.
The one that represented their conference.
Right.
The only thing I remember from the Super Bowl at this point is the halftime show. Still, I'm still thinking about it. Yeah. I don't even remember the game. Who won?
J-Lo.
We're going to bring Bruce in next. Yeah, I thought Shakira won.
Okay.
Play ball!
Bruce Levine, 670 The Score baseball analyst.
It is all baseball.
32 years, baseball veteran reporter.
Bruce, I've known you for a number of years now.
Breaking stories faster than a cheetah can run. And as far as I know, cheetahs are speedy.
I went ahead and broke the story on Twitter, and then, of course, had to write a story on the website at 670thescore.com.
Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine.
By the way, I loved you in The Wizard of Oz.
Bruce Levine.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Bruce Levine is The Score's baseball expert, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Bruce.
Hey, good morning, guys. It was a good weekend for the Chicago Cubs, but it was a bummer of a weekend for the Chicago White Sox.
Well played, Bruce. Okay, so please explain why the Aaron Bummer deal, the contract extensions, 3 years, I think $16 million, makes sense for both sides.
Well, interestingly enough, for a non-closer who was not arbitration eligible, this is the biggest contract in history for Major League Baseball. So it's a great deal for Aaron, who only has a little over a year of service time, that guarantees him an awful lot of money down the road in real people money. Now, for the White Sox, the deal makes tremendous sense because they have options that takes us through a couple of years of free agency. And to do that, not just go through arbitration, it's a terrific deal for a guy that they feel will be a tremendous setup man for them for right now, and probably a closer if everything works out just right in the future. They believe that much in his stuff, his ability to command his pitches, and the makeup to make this kind of offer. And again, you know, you tip your hat to Rick Hahn and the people with the White Sox, who constantly stay ahead of the curve in signing young pitchers that they believe in.
You know, he's 26 years old, and obviously you start talking about lefties and how important that is. You feel like with the new rules, he's able to come out and face three batters, and you feel good about it. You don't worry that that he's a guy that you can only use in certain situations.
Mike, you make a great point. And, you know, again, the new rule is the key. You know, you cannot have specialists come in and just get one out. Yeah, you can if there's a couple outs and the other guy gets hurt. But, you know, from the perspective of this guy's an innings eater and maybe, you know, the next hater out there as far as, you know, eating up two innings at a time, that's an important thing for the White Sox. So again, I think this is a great deal all the way around. And the White Sox continue to be able to project their future with their players and also their economic future of control of guys like him and Anderson, who have tremendously favorable contracts moving forward. And even some of the bigger contracts, you know, for Robert and for Jimenez, you know, early on, it's not that significant a dollar. So they can continue to build within as they project themselves moving forward as a playoff team.
Bruce, let's stick with the White Sox for a second. So we heard from Kenny Williams over the weekend push back at the idea of them pursuing Yasiel Puig. He said he didn't fit after they met with him in December, and he doesn't fit now. Chuck Garfine, we'll talk to later, he reported that. Obviously, Adam Engel is there as a defensive option. We've talked about him as a complement to Mazzara in right field. But I wonder, where does Mike Rodolfo fit in this whole thing? Because he had a double yesterday. He's a guy who's come back. He's dealt with a lot of injury issues. Right. And yet, at one point in time, they expected a lot out of him.
And don't forget Basabe, too, who came in one of those big trades a couple winters ago. They feel they have outfield fortification. So from this situation moving forward, you know, Puig, you know, I mean, you talk about bringing him in. It's just, you know, it's a can of worms. Yeah, he has some raw tools, and he might hit you 25 and drive in 75 or 80. But, you know, at what expense to the clubhouse? So from that perspective, it just doesn't work for the White Sox. Mazzara, they think, is going to be able to hit against left-handers as well. So that covers that up. But, you know, Adolfo is an interesting player with a lot of tools, and they're hoping that, you know, he has a clear season this year, double A, triple A, and is ready for his major league time by maybe this time next year or September if they need a call up.
You know, all those guys took a step back though, Bruce. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, Basabe came in the Chris Sale deal. You look at Adolfo with David's right. They at one point expected something big from him, and maybe it's just injury. Blake Rutherford, another guy, kind of didn't take the step forward. Maybe it's unfair to say they took a step back, but they never took a step forward. So you have a lot of guys, and you have this sort of, I don't know if you want to call it like a grouping of players that just haven't really earned their spot. They're no longer in the 100 best players in baseball that we were always looking at with the minor leagues.
Yeah, it's true, Mike. And you know, that was the warning that Rick Hahn and Williams, when they talked about this a couple of years ago, as they kept adding, you know, more to this group. And it looked like, you know, the Dodgers of the late 60s, early 90s, and producing, you know, the Sayes and the Garveys and the Lopes and the Russells and all those great players that came up all together. But that they warned, you know, said, hey, no matter how many of these guys we sign, some of them are going to get injured. Some of them are going to wash out. That's just the nature of the game. So they're not all going to be major league players. They're not all going to be starting major league players. So this year, you know, continue to keep your eye on the minor leagues for the White Sox, because it's still, as you guys point out, just as important as what's going on up there. That you're going to need guys to be able to come up and fill the hole when you have injuries. And we always ignore the injury factor this time of year, assuming that, you know, in spring training we look at these teams and go, this is a team, and this is the White Sox team, this is the Cubs team, they're all set. And by spring training, all of a sudden you see three or four different names,
Bruce,
when spring training's over.
Switching to the Cubs, what are the early returns after two games of Brizzo at the top of the lineup, and why didn't AWOL manager David Ross get his flu shot?
Yeah, it's a great question, David. You know, most people are talking about that no Ross as well as they do, you know, talked about the fact that, you know, it's Ross probably missed 0 days during his career being sick. So this is a really bad thing, and they're going to tease him about it. Of course, they want him back, and hopefully he's better today. But, you know, I think Brizzo is going to work out great. I mean, I think you can put Anthony Rizzo anywhere in a lineup, and you're going to be pleased with the at-bat. With Bryant, you know, we saw the first game. He's going to play again today on the road. But saw the first game, you know, out real quick, his first at-bat. Second at-bat, drove in two runs. He's in a great frame of mind. You know, all the other stuff that we say in spring training, ready to go, as he said, ready to run through a wall after his meeting with David Ross. So, you know, all systems are go. I just, you know, it was interesting, you know, they're playing Bryant extremely deep. You know, the third baseman was way behind third base, maybe 3 or 4 feet. And it's going to be interesting to see if Chris Bryant has the bunt tool in there, or, you know, will he hit the ball the other way when he feels it's necessary. It's all a part of the evolution of him at the top of the order.
So they're trading him to the White Sox? That's how we're going to find out if he can bunt?
Renteria must have left that behind for him, although that was a year before Chris showed up. He was in the minor leagues at that time. But, yeah, we're going to be watching a lot of Ricky. He was grilled a few times here already this week about his penchant for bunting. But you know what? If you have Anderson and you have Mankata at the top of the order, there's times where you're going to want them to do that.
Bruce, let me ask you about Craig Kimbrel. I'm curious about what you think about the way the Cubs are approaching his spring training, which by all accounts is said to be, okay, it's a normal approach. It's the way he handles things. But it is maybe a little bit different than most relievers. How are people tiptoeing around Craig Kimbrel? What's it like with him in camp, and what do you see from him so far?
Very open access. I mean, he's not the warm and fuzzy guy that, you know, will seek you out, but, you know, very accommodating, a professional guy. You know, from the perspective of his workload, David, which I know you're talking about, that's different. And closers are different. I know there is great angst among Cub fans that they want to see a healthy Kimbrel out there. But I guarantee you, these closers, especially a guy that has the miles on him, they're not anxious to get out there on February 23rd and then 24th and throw back-to-backs just to impress a new team and the fan base. That's not where it's at. I remember in 1993, Randy Myers did not throw a pitch until the last game of spring training that year, and everybody was concerned that he wasn't going to be ready, you know, and then 51 saves later, you know, he was the leader in all of baseball that year. So these guys have their own pace. You have to trust it. But I do understand the anxiety of people, you know, especially after the horrendous beginning to his career that he had with the Cubs last year.
What was your takeaway from the Sox first victory of spring training? It was, you know, unfortunately not shown in Chicago. We don't have a marquee for Sox.
Well, you know, the Dylan Cease thing was very good. He came out of there extremely confident, feeling, you know, like he had been there for a long time. And again, you know, I think, you know, Giolito certainly has to repeat his year. But for me, it's Lopez and Cease if you're going to be a 85 to 90 win team. Those guys have to be prepared to throw a good 170 innings for you this year and be out there, you know, six innings when they can and seven sometimes. So Cease, you know, that was a great takeaway out of that. You know, Luis Robert, a line drive, you know, ground ball to short, you know, nothing much you can take out of two at-bats this early other than he's out there and he made contact, which is good.
Is manager Rossi expected back to work today?
Don't know. You know, the cooties got him pretty good. So, you know, for him to miss, you know, again, this guy's a baseball soldier and he has to be way, way under the weather. Hopefully he'll be back. You know, I know there's probably nobody more anxious and upset about this than David Ross, but, you know, that's just the way, the nature of this. And it's going around a little bit in the clubhouse. Jose Quintana also is going to miss a start here because he has the bug. So this week, you know, you're going to have to be watching. Today you have, for the Cubs on the side, you have Yu Darvish. Then you're going to have John Lester in a Cactus League game and Kyle Hendricks the next 2 days.
Bruce, you better text with those guys. Don't be going in that clubhouse if there's a disease.
Stay healthy,
yeah,
Bruce.
I'm asking Ross today if I should get a shot before doing this. Guys, have a great day.
See you, buddy. Too, Bruce.
That's our guy, Bruce Levine. Just wear one of those masks, you know.
The coronavirus masks.
No, they're just regular masks.
Well, I know, but they're
I wouldn't bring up coronavirus.
Well, they're in vogue because of that.
I brought it up on Friday and got in serious trouble with one texter. People on the Tech Zone brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com.
Sensitive bunch they are.
They don't like it. They're
they don't like
very,
country music either.
Very sensitive. They're going after you about country, buddy. It's pretty funny to get people's, you know, some very serious responses about the best country.
Oh, my gosh.
And then some just flat out insults. Sebi Zavala, what do you think?
Oh, yeah.
He hit a homer, right? I mean, it'd be nice to have a third catcher that that isn't named
Chicago
Jack Collins.
Baseball teams have so many good, promising catchers. Yeah, Molly, three on each side. Yeah.
Did Zach Collins personally
four.
Affront you at some point? You have a vendetta against this kid.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
I don't go all Adam Angle on him. No. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't know I'm supposed to fall in love with people.
He loves him.
Oh, Kevin, there's like little hearts over his head when he talks about Adam Angle.
You ever see
anything like that?
You're disputing the catchers, the depth of the catchers on both sides of town?
No, I just said, nah.
You've got two All-Stars on the White Sox, plus your guy Zabala, plus Zach Collins, and the Cubs
you got Yasmani Grandal. Go ahead. And the Cubs have Wilson Contreras and the young kid that they think is going to be a star.
And Victor Caratini. I'll have the Caratini in left field, please.
Yeah, you've had too many Caratinis.
Home run.
What are you doing with Schwarber?
See, Schwarbs.
Oh, here he goes.
We got Schwarbs.
Yeah, that's Dustin's Adam Engel.
We're going to mic him up.
Or is it still Chris Bryant?
Right. How's Charlie Tilson doing?
Yeah, well, maybe that explains why I'm not drinking Charlie Tilson.
Whoa.
Maybe if you stop and think about it, you'll understand why I'm not too happy about Adam Engel, Kevin. You jerk. Smully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.